Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel lesson today, we see some terrifying things, but we also see and are reminded how God protects in two most comforting ways. First, through the power and mediation of angels. Yes, angels, they actually exist. God has created angelic beings more powerful than humans to serve humanity. The book of Hebrews chapter 1 sums it up best. Angels, the author says, are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? In our gospel lesson, we see God thwarting Herod, wicked King Herod's evil plan to kill newborn Jesus. And how does God do it? Through the mediation and divine intervention of one of his angels. An angel comes and warns Joseph in a dream of Herod's intent to kill baby Jesus and instructs him specifically where to take him. He's supposed to take Jesus and his mother to Egypt. Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus subsequently get a head start for Egypt, and they live there with this divine information safely for years until the angel comes back to them and tells them to return back to Israel. In addition to intervening in the lives of Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus, as in our gospel lesson, there are countless other examples of how angels protect God's people throughout biblical history. God designed angels to protect his people. I think back to when the Assyrian army under Sennacherib came to the doors of Jerusalem with 185,000 troops after they have already destroyed most of the northern parts of where north of Jerusalem was. And what are we told? That King Hezekiah went and prayed in the temple all night long to God for help. The books of Isaiah and 1 Kings both record then how God sent an angel to wipe out all 185,000 troops in their sleep, protecting his people from imminent destruction. I think of Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den with hungry lions, how God protected Daniel, and how Daniel confesses in the morning to King Darius, "My God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions." I think of Elijah when he was fleeing from the wicked Queen Jezebel and her murderous threat. He went into the wilderness for a 40-day journey, not knowing he would not make it. God sent an angel who fed him at night because God knew the journey was too long for even Elijah. My favorite story, Elisha. When Elisha is sitting one morning reading his Bible, whatever he was doing, and his servant boy goes outside to get the milk or the newspaper, whatever he was doing, and he looks up and he sees the entire Syrian army sent to capture them. He runs inside and says, "Elisha, master, the whole Syrian army is here to get us." And Elisha bows his head and prays to God, "Open the boy's eyes to show him that there are more with us than with them." And when they both go out, they see the entire angelic army, the host in chariots of fire, that's where the name comes from, around the Syrian army, and they are delivered from them. You look in the New Testament too, the book of Acts. Luke records how God sends angels to intervene to protect Peter and Paul when they are in jail or facing adversaries. Angels are still all around us, commanded by God to protect us. They're in this building right now, whether you can see them or not. I can't, just so you know. You don't have to be Moses or Elijah, Daniel or David, Peter or Paul to have God's holy angels protecting you. The psalmist reminds us he will command his angels concerning you. The psalmist does not say commanding concerning me, he says concerning you, meaning all people. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Perhaps you can recall an experience where there was angelic intervention. One of those, "who was that?" moments, or "what just happened?" moments, where someone showed up and did something miraculous. Maybe you were traveling or you were in danger and you didn't know it. And then you realize, wow, if that person hadn't been there, then, well, who was that person and where did they go? Perhaps it was an angel. Maybe you roll your eyes at me. But the author of the book of Hebrews says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. In addition to providing protection, angels also serve God's people as messengers of His divine plan of salvation. In fact, the word angel actually means messenger. The Gospels record how the angel Gabriel announced the coming birth of John the Baptist to his father Zechariah. The same Gabriel announced the coming of the birth of Jesus to his parents, Mary and Joseph. The same Gabriel, ageless Gabriel, announced God's plan of salvation to Daniel more than 500 years before Jesus walked on the earth, back in the Old Testament. You recall that the angels were there on the first Christmas, announcing God's plan of salvation to the shepherds at Bethlehem. And there were angels there on Easter morning, announcing God's plan of salvation to the women and to Peter and John, that He was not in a tomb anymore, that He had risen from the dead. And there were angels announcing Jesus' ascension. When Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples are just standing, looking up into heaven, wondering what to do. Angels come out of heaven and say, what are you doing? He just told you what to do. Go baptize, go teach, and don't worry when He's coming back. He will come back the same way He just went into heaven. Angels are there to proclaim God's salvation. Now, I've never had an angel appear to me and proclaim God's word to me, to my knowing. But each week, you and I come here to church, we get to sing the proclamations of the angels. Today, we just sing a form of it, the Gloria in Excelsis. And on first Sundays, we sing that Gloria in Excelsis often here at Chapel Cross, the song that the angels sing at Christmas. It's their song, it's their words, and we get to hear them when we come here. Or perhaps you like the hymn, This is the Feast. It's a song written by the angels, sung by the angels, recorded in the book of Revelation for the day when we all will stand before Jesus and His throne in the new creation. Or my personal favorite, right before communion, what's known as the Sanctus. It's Latin for holy. We sing the Holy, 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 you might know it as. That's also a song written by angels. It's recorded in the book of Isaiah. And the angels, the four archangels, sing that song whenever they're in the presence of God Almighty. We sing that before communion to recognize that when God speaks His word, when Jesus has His word spoken over bread and wine, His very presence, His body and blood come in with and under the bread and wine. So we sing the same song that the angels sing, recognizing His presence is here. In our worship, biblical Jesus-centered worship, the words of angels still proclaim to us God's salvation today. The words and music of angels still speak to us today. They help remind us of what God has done. I think it's quite comforting to know that God created such powerful, ageless, spiritual beings called angels that are still protecting, that are still proclaiming Jesus to us on our behalf, even today. But today's gospel lesson reminds us of an even more comforting fact of how God has acted on our behalf. You see, more than creating angels to protect God's people, God delivered the baby Jesus from the wicked King Herod's hands, not just to save him from death, but get this, to save him for death. Death on a cross for us. This is important to remember, especially the week after Christmas, when we get caught up in all the Christmas hype, or maybe the Christmas letdown now. I think sometimes we get back to life and we wish, when we hear our gospel lesson or narratives like it, we wish that God would just divinely intervene, mysteriously intervene, like He did with Mary and Joseph. You know, send an angel. We wish for the intervening experiences of angels that Elijah had, Daniel had, Mary and Joseph had, as if such an act would be the ultimate experience that we could have with God. And we forget the true ultimate experience that we do have with God. It's in Jesus, not in angels. angels are great and surely a true comfort. But Jesus and his work is greater than all the angels and all their work combined. You see, Jesus is more than an angel, the book of Hebrews reminds us. Jesus is the only true begotten, not made Son of God. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, as St. John reveals to us in his Gospel, the Gospel of John, Jesus was begotten, but not made. And so you have more in common with angels, because you, like angels, were created. And that is why God the Father has not spoken to Gabriel or Michael, the archangel who defeated Satan, as he spoke of Jesus, calling him his son. God does not call angels his son. In the beginning was the Word, the Gospel of John starts. God the Father did not create the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, St. John tells us. And the Word then became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus. The book of Hebrews puts it like this. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, who sustains all things by his powerful word. Yes, more than even an angel can sustain us, for sure. And the reason he was begotten in the flesh, the book of Hebrews continues, was to provide purification for our sins. That's a job that no angel can do, a job that no human being can do, purify us from our sins. And so the ultimate announcing of God's salvation came not from the mouth of an angel, actually, but in the very person and work of Jesus Christ, God's Son, truly divine, yet now in flesh appearing, to quote the hymn, O come all ye faithful. And the ultimate protecting of God's people comes not from the hand of an angel, although we do truly thank God for his angels, but by the very hands of Jesus Christ, God's Son, crucified on a cross for you and for me, then risen from the dead for you and for me to purify us from our sins, so that our flesh and bones may rise again to an eternal, resurrected, perfect life. And so we revere Jesus not as angels are revered. We marvel at the mystery of Jesus not as we marvel at the mystery of angels. We adore Jesus not as we adore any other newborn baby. We worship Jesus, as next week we'll see the wise men from afar come and worship him. We worship Jesus as the angels worship him. His creation worships him. We worship Jesus as God, for he is truly God, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is our greatest source of protection. He is our salvation. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.